Clayton. John Clayton.
And now, I'm done with my segment.
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
It is time for our conversation with the professor, John Clayton. He joins us every day at 4 o'clock here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. By the way, a little programming note coming up at the bottom of the hour. Mark Schlereth will join us on the program. But right now, we talk to John. Hello, John.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good. Did you have you? I'm going to guess you didn't have any problems with the play that was called that ultimately led to the injury of Patrick Mahomes last night.
No, I mean it's just one of those plays. It's unfortunate, but I don't have a problem with it. It's unfortunate that he got hurt. I mean, he's such a great player. I feel bad about the whole thing because again, you know, you want this guy to be as good as you possibly can be, and you want him to be healthy. But no, I don't have a problem with the play call itself. I just the result is the thing that bothers me the most because now whether it's going to be 3 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, it takes one of the great players in the game out of this game.
Yeah, you know, I feel the same way. It was kind of, it bothered me, John. You were probably watching it. Oh, no. I was listening to it on the radio on the way out to Snoqualmie Casino, and yeah, you just go, man, that's just not good for the NFL.
No,
right?
It's terrible.
Yeah, and so, you know, I was asking this question. When's the last time somebody texted in Carson Wentz? Did he get hurt on a quarterback sneak? It's not like it's.
I think
it's
so. Yeah, back when he got the knee injury.
Did he?
I think it was, but because it was like the was it the week after the Seahawks game?
After the Seahawks played Philly.
Yeah, because remember, I mean, we watched Sean. I remember watching Deshaun Watson, you know, hurt his knee in that third quarter because I, you know, watched him kind of, you know, kick the knee around and all that stuff, and then he was, you know, out after that. Back when they played Seattle out here in that wild game where it was over 200 yards for their wide receiver, but scary.
Yeah, but I just, you know, I was just thinking. I mean, look, that's not known as a highly dangerous play.
No.
Yeah. So, Alvin Kamara ruled out for Sunday. How far away are we from Breeze?
2 weeks.
2 weeks for Breeze?
Theoretically, 2 weeks, because now he's at the stage where he can actually hold the old Duke football and now starting to throw it. So it looks like he's 2 weeks away. But I'll tell you what, I mean, you know, you look at the five guys that they have injured, you know, you got Breeze and Kamara and all that stuff. Now you can see the potential for them to lose a game because, I mean, you know, and there's no knock on Teddy Bridgewater, but when you take too much away from a team, which is now what's happened, I mean, they now are in a position where they may lose their first game because they're at Chicago. You know how good a defense Chicago is, and you're going in with backup running backs.
Hey, John, a lot of talk about Patrick Mahomes last night for good reason, trying to figure out what his injury situation is. But what about the flip side of it with the Broncos? Where do they go from here?
Well, in fact, I know you're going to be talking to Mark Schlereth, and I know Mark tweeted out, Sterling Sharp tweeted out. I mean, you know, and Mark was as bold as you can possibly be. He said it's time for John Elway to go to the bench. And ooh. I disagree with that.
The guy that got him a Super Bowl, you mean that guy?
The guy that got him a Super Bowl, took him to two Super Bowls, yeah.
Yeah, what but, a I dummy. Mean,
yeah, I'm not for that, and of course, you know, being so close with Mark, I'm not going to overly criticize him. I'm not going to criticize him whatsoever. I don't agree, but I think that's what the sentiment is. It's more not on Vic Fangio. It's more on you know, John Elway for not getting the right people on the team. I mean, not getting the right quarterback, not getting the right players, all those things. But I think everything's kind of mounting up right now on him.
Yeah. Do you think that I think it's obvious that there's a little more pressure on him to get a good quarterback. I think, you know, people are probably a little, although it has been a while.
Yes.
Since. Yeah, I just still am so impressed by him after Super Bowl 48 within 2 years building a defense good enough to win a championship for them. But I don't know. I didn't ever think that that the clock would tick out on John Elway in Denver. I mean, that guy means so much to that city.
Well, and particularly, too, with the ownership issues that they have going on right now. I mean, he's the stabilizing force. And, you know, it's tough sometimes to rebuild a program. And, you know, it's tough to find quarterbacks. I mean, you watched, you know, how many quarterbacks, I mean, 3-4 quarterbacks Seattle had to go through before they, you know, hit the mother load and get Russell Wilson. And it's not easy. see, and particularly the way that John Elway runs his franchise, because John usually has success. They make the playoffs, and to be able to get a playoff quarterback or a championship quarterback, it's hard to do late in the first round when you're a playoff team. Well, now at 2-5, they're not a playoff team. Maybe they can be in the mix, but and they kind of moved around, and they didn't overinvest in Drew Locke. He's going to be able to come off the injured list in another week or so. But no, it's a tough situation. I feel bad right now for John Elway.
John, how concerned are you that we may be seeing Marquise Blair and Tedrick Thompson out there for the Seahawks?
I think it's a big concern, and the reason is the matchup. Again, ultimately, I think you're going to see, at some point, I don't know if it's this year, next year, whatever, Marquise Blair be in there. But, for a game like this where they have a good tight end situation and they get the ball to the tight ends, this makes it tough. That's why I think McDougal is going to be a key, because, here it is. You've got the RPOs of Lamar Jackson. You want to probably need more man defense. And now are they going to be able to man up against some of the tight ends that are out there? And that might be tough. So I think it's a concern. But then, hey, there's concerns all around for all these teams. I mean, Marquise Blair is not going to be able to play. Jimmy Smith, the cornerback. I mean, you look at the secondary. Okay, yeah, it's going to be a transition in the secondary if they have to go with Tedrick Thompson, who's played well, and Blair. That's going to make it a little bit tougher. Delano Hill is going to be out. But look what they're going through in Baltimore right now. Jimmy Smith's doubtful, so he's not going to play. You've got Tony Jefferson, the safety. He went on IR with an ACL tear. You pick up Marcus Peters. I mean, literally, in a matter of a week or so, you're breaking in three quarters of your secondary new. And so that's not necessarily good. So, I mean, as we get deeper into the season, every team has the problems of injuries, and you just have to fess up to it.
Yeah. Well, let's ask John the question we answered earlier. The Seahawks win if...
If they get the turnovers. I mean, it's going to come down to a turnover game, because, I mean, this game is going to be very much, I think, like we saw in Cincinnati and also the Cleveland game. Because, I mean, say what you want. I mean, Andy Dalton's not the most mobile quarterback, but he won it with an RPO type of offense. And an RPO type of an offense, it's tough whether you're in a three linebacker set or a nickel to be able to go. Because, again, the quarterback can escape and do so many things. But what the key is going to be is like the turnovers that were done for Baker Mayfield, the turnovers that were done for Andy Dalton, they've got to do the same thing with Lamar Jackson. Because I love the quote that Tedrick Thompson gave me, and this is from Ken Norton Jr., because basically what they talk about, I said, why do you guys, you're giving up more yards this year, but you're getting everything done at the right time? And it's like, we feel comfortable when there's discomfort. And I thought that was a great quote when it's comfortable when it's discomfortable. And that's where, they were able to make the big plays when necessary.
Hey, John, I don't know about you. I would rather not see Dwayne Brown out there. I'm worried that, that's going to turn into like a long range deal. And, George Fant did a pretty good job. From what you're hearing from Pete, what do you think are going to see, Dwayne?
I just go back to the original comment that he had early in the week that it was going to be at least a two-week injury, and this is week two. So I think that he's going to miss this game. I'm still not sold that Fluker is going to be there either. So, they're going to be a little bit scrambling around like that, but I don't think there's any way you see Dwayne Brown.
Yeah, from what you're hearing out in Baltimore and John Harbaugh, what about Marcus Peters? I know I don't think he made practice on Wednesday.
No, he's gonna play. They're gonna try to play him as much as they possibly can.
Okay,
and so he's definitely in. I don't know if he's gonna be in for the entire game, but see if you agree with this. I'm looking at this game much like the Pittsburgh game. Okay, so now here it is. You're coming in. Now, one thing, Pittsburgh is good stopping the run. Baltimore's better stopping the run. They got Michael Pierce and they got Brandon Williams, and they're really good run stoppers. So they're going to stuff the middle, and if you're going to run, you have to run to the outside. Okay, so now Pittsburgh came in with all those blitzes, and Baltimore's a blitzing team. They blitz 48% of the time. So what I would envision is that they're going to try to throw the ball quickly into the middle of the field. In other words, instead of trying to pound it up the middle, You know, they've got, because now you have to run to the edges. You know, I think they're going to have to work more passing early. I'm not saying you go to a big passing offense. I think what you do is you implement the game plan to a certain degree of what you did. Because remember, it's like, okay, you're throwing into a secondary that's, 75% new, and you've got, Marcus Peters going into a more complex defense than he had either in Kansas City or he had in the Rams. Because, you know, one of the things that Wink Martindale does is he really tries to disguise things as best he can. And so with that in mind, and communication, I think, being a big issue, that's where I think you can kind of beat them.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually. Defensive backs. And then, you know, the other thing we talk about, John, we were sitting here talking about Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Russell's by far the more dangerous quarterback on the field.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I would think that Russell, that there's going to be some opportunities for him. Hey, Jim, your thoughts.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. Which one would you like? Yeah. Professor, which secondary is going to have the better game?
Well, I mean, it's, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I'm now comparing Lamar Jackson to Russell Wilson 2.0. Because, I mean, you think about the dynamics of it. Okay, here's Russell as a rookie. He takes his team into the playoffs. He wins a playoff game. Okay, so even though he didn't win a playoff game, Lamar Jackson comes out. He wins 6 out of 7. He takes him into the playoffs when nobody expected it. Now he's up to 65% completions. He's not anywhere close to being as accurate as Russell Wilson, but you can see that he's progressing. And so, you know, he's still not there yet, and they don't have the receiving weapons, particularly with Marquise Brown out, that even Seattle has. And so they'll throw more to the tight end and all that stuff. So that's going to play into the bend but don't break philosophy. But again, you're going to be more challenged right now with Russell Wilson going against a blitzing offense or blitzing defense, particularly as accurate he's been. And he's one of the, in fact, I think this year, according to some of the analytics, he is the best quarterback against blitzes.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, John, as a follow-up with the Ravens blitzing as much as they do. Do you continue to do what you do as a defense, or do you note that, hey, wait a minute, this guy burns a lot of other teams, maybe we shouldn't blitz as much?
As far as Seattle?
No, if you're the Ravens.
I think you are what you are, and you know that you have to do as much. But, yeah, I mean, you know, do they have the ability? And that's the thing that's going to be in the back of Martindale's mind is the idea. It's like, okay, you know, we can blitz, but right now the guys in the secondary, they're still trying to learn. I mean, it's a whole new group, particularly with Jimmy Smith out. And so it's like, that could cause some confusion with some of the coverages. I mean, we've seen that here in Seattle the last year and a half. Some of it with the young guys coming in and, you know, confusion here, missed assignment there. And so, and you know that Russell's going to play some games with Earl Thomas, and Earl Thomas is going to play some games with him, and that'll be fascinating to watch. But, no, I think, I think that they're going to blitz. I mean, that's what they are.
Hey, John, I was seeing some comments coming out of Arizona that they've got zero interest in getting rid of Patrick Peterson. There was some thought that perhaps they would trade him by the trade deadline. Did you think they were going to move him, or what were your thoughts on him?
No, I thought that they were not going to move him whatsoever because, it's one of those things where, it's not like Cliff Kingsbury's fighting for his job. The general manager is fighting for his job, and he said it the best. He says, listen, it's like these guys are hard to find. And it's like, it's hard to find a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback, and you're not going to let one go in the prime of his career. And so, and I tend to agree with that. And when you look at Patrick Peterson, he's not just a Pro Bowl cornerback. He's a six-time Pro Bowl cornerback who might be a Hall of Famer. So do you trade him just to get value? I mean, let's put it this way. If you're Steve Keim, you're going to be like Tom Coughlin and trade Jalen Ramsey when you may not be the guy making the pick on those draft choices next year? No. And particularly, things are re-energized right now with Arizona. If they win this game coming up against the New York Giants, which is a winnable game, they're 3-3-1.
It's a decent chance there. I was going to ask you this one, John. What's more likely to happen, the Redskins beating the 49ers or the Jets beating the Patriots? Jets 1-4. Yeah, they're at home.
Yeah.
Both the crummy teams are at home.
Yeah.
You got 6-0 Patriots at the Jets. Mm-hmm. You got 5-0 Niners at the Redskins.
I mean, you'd have to go with the Redskins, which really has no chance of winning against the 49ers, but the Jets have no chance against the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, Darnold says they can be as explosive as anybody in the league.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Yeah. You're not agreeing with him, huh? John Brady's starting to slip a little bit.
Oh yeah, I mean that's
terrible.
What, at 5-0, I mean he should give it up.
He's awful. Yeah, but it's only because of the defense.
No, it's because what's that? Because of the defense? Yeah, I know he's not had two good games in a row, but he's won. It's like, okay, when somebody beats him, then we can talk about it. But nobody's beating him, and these teams in that division aren't beating him. I mean, remember, he's the one who went to Buffalo, didn't have a good game, had a low-scoring game, but they won. I mean, he does enough to win the football games. And, he probably won't have Josh Gordon in the game. You know, Julian Edelman's still playing banged up. The offensive line still has two major holes in it, but he'll find a way to win. You know, this is still the Jets. I mean, you look at that injury list for the Jets. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, their offensive line is all banged up. I mean, I just finished putting the injury list into the database, but, you know, they've got like 18 guys out there.
That's a long list,
Jim,
right there.
Don't bet against Tom Brady. Don't bet against Tom Brady.
Well,
you've learned your lesson.
Well,
I like to think.
Depends on how many points the Jets are getting.
How many points are the Jets getting?
I think they're getting, I don't know, 8 or 9 or something. I haven't looked.
I don't know why you're looking at me for that one.
Let me. I like Dave's either-or question. I'll give you another one because we're trying as Seahawks fans to get the 5-1 teams to lose.
Yeah.
Green Bay 5-1, New Orleans 5-1. The Saints are at Chicago. Green Bay hosting Oakland. Which is most likely to lose?
Well, I mean, Oakland's going to, I think they'll have a tough time, but because Green Bay right now, even though they're not playing great football, they are 5-1. You know, the Bears, I think this is going to be a loss for the Saints. Yeah. I just think when you take away Breeze and Kamara, that's almost too much because, you know, now, you know, you've got the running game affected. You know, they might be able to do some things. And this is the Bears. I mean, say what you want. I know that Mitch Trubisky, you know, is still uncertain if he's going to play. He's questionable with the game time decision. But I still look at the overall picture of a Bears defense that can hold you to 14 points. And somehow, some way, if you can come up with 16 or 17 points, you can win that game.
How's the health in the Eagles Cowboys game? That's going to be a good one. 2-3-3 teams going at it in Dallas.
Yeah, Eagles are pretty banged up. I mean, wide receivers and particularly in the secondary. They're a mess at linebacker right now because particularly I know they cut Zach Brown because he called out Kirk Cousins and that didn't work out. And you know Zach was a Pro Bowler when he was Washington, but he's not playing like a Pro Bowler now. But they're so thin at linebacker and they've had all kind of problems in the secondary. So I think that they're more vulnerable. I mean, I know that the two tackles right now are questionable, Tyron Smith and Lolo Collins, but I think both really say practice today so they have a chance to play. But I'd say right now the Eagles are the ones they've called out with Doug Peterson saying he's guaranteeing a victory. I know he came back and kind of toned that down a little bit, but, I mean, hey, you can't take back what he said.
Yeah, well, their defensive end, Lawrence, said, "We ready." So they're ready for the Eagles. But Amari Cooper was a guy who was listed as an injury concern, and apparently he's going to be ready to go. We've talked about, you know, the potential extension for Dak Prescott. What about Amari Cooper?
It's gone slow, much slower than I think anybody anticipated, which I think is a little bit of a surprise. But, Jerry did get the deal done with Ezekiel Elliott. You know, at some point you'd like to see him get some kind of a deal done, but right now no deal.
How about the Bengals getting their first win at home against the Gardner Minshews, the Fighting Minshews?
I'd lean toward Jacksonville in this game because look at all the turmoil that's going on. They're 0-6. You know, Cordy Glenn, who's had a concussion and missed the first six games of the season, goes in and thought his treatment was right because he said, "They're trying to get me back quicker with the concussion." So he got into it with his position coach, and so they suspended him for a game, kept him out of practice. You know, they don't have anything else on the offensive line. Andre Smith's banged up. You know, they've already got six guys. Their inactive list is almost ready right now like it was last week because they got six guys that are out of the game. So they go in understaffed, undermanned, and winless.
Professor, what about the game Sunday here? 90% chance of rain, CenturyLink Field, Baltimore, Seattle. Seahawks favored by 3. Who do you like?
I like Seattle because, again, it's going to be a very close game. Again, I think it's going to be, you know, similar to what we saw in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and even Cleveland. I mean, again, a game where, it's going to be up and down and all that stuff, and it's up to Russell Wilson to make sure that, he doesn't make the turnover. But, again, Lamar Jackson is going to be more prone to make the turnover than him. So I certainly would lean toward Seattle winning because they're at home. I mean, you know, the good things on the Ravens is, you know, certainly Lamar Jackson. Certainly their run-stopping ability, but no pass rush. They are shaky along the offensive line. They are a little thin with Brown out as far as the wide receiver position. So I just think in the end, you know, they may be trailing in the fourth quarter, but I think in the fourth quarter they turn around and get the victory.
They got them right where they want them when they're trailing in the fourth quarter.
Absolutely.
Russell with 30 fourth-quarter comeback wins.
Three this year.
All right, Professor, Bob teased this. Is this fanny pack weather coming up here?
No, because it's going to be raining. It's like, so the fanny pack's going to be covered underneath the rain gear. So we got the REI.
But you'll be wearing it.
I got the REI rain gear, so
some good
the
rain
fanny
gear.
Pack's not going to work.
Okay.
Well,
remember, there was only one game that I had a chance with the fanny pack, and that was the Raider game. I didn't bring the fanny pack, and I got soaked because I didn't bring the rain gear. It's rained every game.
Huh. Hmm. All right, John.
Hey, John, if Earl Thomas picks off Russell Wilson, you think he bows in front of the Seahawks sideline like he did in the Dallas game?
Probably, yeah. I would say that he'll do something. I mean,
that'll be poorly received by the fans.
What if he goes out to the middle of the field and does like a T.O. thing?
Oh, boy.
Like he did in Dallas. Who would be the first guy to run over there and knock him off like George Teague did?
Dave Wyman.
Bobby.
No, you're my extension down on the field, Clayton. I'm going to send you out there.
Remember, I'm neutral. I won't do anything like that.
You
can maybe talk Jen Mueller into doing it.
That's true. You'll be on their sidelines.
John, you doing your show tomorrow?
Yes, from 8 to 9.
All right. Well, enjoy that. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. Sounds good.
There you go.
Like my question.
There's the professor, the fanny pack weather?
No. Who's going to be the guy that comes over there and knocks him off the star? Text it in to 710-710.
I got Bobby. Who do you have?
I got him, too.
Oh, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
Remember, they had a little heat between them at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We heard from Kadri Ismail yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we should do this in the next segment because I'm taking you off track here.
Well, we got...
There's a little.
We got our guy coming up here.
Yeah,
Mark Schlereth, who will be on the call. He's going to join us next as we continue live from Seahawks headquarters with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
This happy hour is brought to you by Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. We have our player spotlight coming up at 5 o'clock. Nico Thorpe will be with us, but right now we get a chance to bring in a man who's going to be on the call for the Seahawks game coming up this weekend. And I can tell you, judging by his Twitter account, he was dazzled by the performance last night of the Denver Broncos. I'll tell you what. Talking about the one, the only, Mark Schlereth is with us here on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Mark, how are you, man?
I am doing great. Thank you. I appreciate you bringing that game up. That was wonderful to watch. I'm sure I was sitting on the plane watching that game as I was flying from Los Angeles to Seattle, probably with the headphones on, probably dropping F-bombs out loud while I was watching that debacle that is the Denver Broncos. So I appreciate you bringing up that that fond memory of last night.
Yeah, your Twitter was on fire, and I just want to play you this cut and then just let you go from there. But here's Troy Aikman last night.
And they can't even go downfield.
No, this is about as bad on offense as I've seen. I'm shocked there's as many people still here at the game.
thought they should have just left the vacate the building. It was so bad.
It was that bad. I mean, they gave up 9 sacks, and I remember a game where we gave up 9 sacks when I was. Oh wait, that was the entire season in 1991, 19 games. at winning a Super Bowl championship, we gave up 9 sacks. 9 freaking sacks. Are you kidding? Not only are your players bad, your coaches are bad. You give up 9 sacks in a game, and that's an offensive coordinator that's calling plays, not calling an offense, not understanding the importance of giving guys an opportunity to be aggressive, of making a defense play both the run and the pass, of making a defense defend the entirety of the field. That is just garbage. You give up 9 sacks, your coaches stink, your players stink, your organization stinks, your general manager stinks. And that's my former teammate and yours too, Dave.
Man.
Dave doesn't know where to go with that one.
Well, Mark, I like John.
I do too. I like him too. But, man, that was – I mean, as a Bronco, I'm embarrassed. That's as embarrassing a performance as I've seen – a team put out on film, or the Broncos team ever put out. That's how bad it was.
All right. You know, I was going to ask another Bronco question, but we're talking Seahawks here.
No, let's you get and off I, the Broncos. We'll have I to mean, visit. Let's not make everybody sick.
Yeah. We'll visit on Sunday.
I just hope we can get Mark to come out of his shell a little bit and tell us what he really thinks on this stuff.
Well, he's
the stuff on the left tackle, Mark. I really enjoyed your comments there.
Listen, in all seriousness, and this is me being honest, and it's not personal. I would fire his ass and ship him out of the building. And the problem is when you have a guy that you continue to prop up into mama cat that every guy in that organization knows can't play, and you're looking at him every time you walk in the locker room going, why is that guy on our team? He blows. Like, you lose credibility as an organization. You lose credibility as a general manager, as a head coach, as just an organization in general. And why that dude is playing in the NFL, why he's on our team, I have no idea.
All right. Mark's getting out of his system all the things he can't say on TV on Sunday. So, yeah. Let's go to Lamar Jackson. We've been kind of like marveling over him all week, and rightfully so, Mark. I mean, you see how just incredibly wildly athletic he is, but Russell Wilson's the more dangerous quarterback in this matchup, isn't he?
Well, Russell Wilson is just phenomenal. I mean, there's absolutely no question about his ability not only to operate when things are on schedule, but he's the best I've seen at things, you know, when they go off schedule. Off schedule plays, the connection he has between he and his wide receivers, not only Lockett, which is incredible. I mean, I was commenting today, I was talking to Shoddy, Brian Schottenheimer. I was like, it's like they went to Hogwarts together. Like, it's magic, you know. I mean, those two, when things break down, they have a connection. Like, is it mental telepathy? I don't know. I'm not that bright. You know that, Dave. I just am not real smart. But
I didn't go to Hogwarts.
I have. What's that? They didn't go to Hogwarts?
I did not go to Hogwarts.
Or did they go to the University of Narnia together? One of those schools. either or. They were connected there, but. Amazing what they do in the passing game when things break down. And, of course, on schedule, Russell is as good as there is. It's just unique. You know, when you talk about Lamar Jackson, you're talking about a guy that I think is more gifted than Michael Vick when it comes to just pure athleticism, and the things he does with his feet are phenomenal. And I'll tell you, when you look at their run game, and, you know, it's a collegiate run game, but, like, I'm watching, I'm breaking down film tape, and I'm like, man, that was, like, unbelievable how they kind of separated the defense in half, and they pull a bunch of, you know, the motion a receiver, and they pull a tight end from the opposite side of the field, and they're getting these matchups where you've got four defenders and they've got seven blockers. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. And I'm like, that's the best run I've seen. Like, I can't believe how good that run was. And the next play, I'm going, oh wait, no, scratch that. That's the best run I've ever seen. And then the next play is like, oh wait, scratch that. That was even better than the last run I saw. So. You know, your discipline, the way you play that game, I don't know. I mean, you've got to be so incredibly disciplined. This is a huge challenge for the Seahawks. I know they're up for it, but a huge challenge to try to stop that running game because it is unique. It's one of a kind in this league. You don't see it very often, so it's really hard without pads and any of that kind of stuff because of the way the collective bargaining agreement is. It's really hard to defend, and it's really hard to practice. So, it'll be interesting to see exactly how they do trying to defend that running game of the Baltimore Ravens.
Hey, really quick, did you ask them who they had playing Lamar Jackson during the week? I forgot to ask that.
No, I didn't even. I mean, I was watching them, and it was, you know, today was more of a passing type of thing, and it was Geno. But, I don't know who. I just don't know that you can simulate that at all.
No.
So, you know, it just is. He is such a freak show that. You know, you try to simulate the blocking schemes and things of that nature, but I just don't know that he's just one of those guys that gets on the field and shocks you because of his fluidity and his athleticism is not like anybody in the league.
Mark, a lot of us are trying to figure out how good the Seahawks are. You look at their record, and they're 5-1, along with the Saints and Green Bay, and then San Francisco at 5-0, and it seems like it's wide open in the NFC. How do you see it shaking out right now?
Well, I mean, I think the Seahawks are still figuring out who they are and what they are. And I just keep seeing a team that seems to get better and better and better. I know they play close games. I know that, you know, a lot of people are like, well, they beat a team in Cincinnati that, you know, doesn't have a win yet. And you know, they beat Arizona, who's only got a couple of wins, and like they haven't played anybody that's really good. Well, part of it is because the Seahawks, you know, have done what they had to do to win, but they keep finding a way to win these close games. And those things to me are important when you can figure that out. I think their best football is ahead of them. They've developed some through injury. They've developed some offensive linemen they can rely on. Backup guys who have come in and played really, really well. The Jones kid has played pretty well the last couple of weeks. Being asked to, Fant actually played pretty well last week out at left tackle. So, you know, they've developed some continuity out there and some depth on their offensive line. I think Carson is, I mean, he's a one-man wrecking crew, violent runner. He's, you know, cured his fumbling issues. So he's been great. And, you know, this league is funny because it has shifted back to, can you run the football? Can you control the line of scrimmage? Because if you can, you can win football games. And it reminds me of 90s football, you know, mid-90s football. And it's exciting for me to watch. So I think the Seattle Seahawks have, like I said, are figuring out who they are, figuring out their identity, and they're winning games while they're figuring that out. I think they're going to be a dangerous team in the second half of the season without question.
Hey, Mark, you hit on what I wanted to ask you next, and that was about Jamarco Jones and to a lesser extent, Fant. Yeah, I mean, they need Dwayne Brown there. He's a great left tackle. I don't know. They've given no official word whether he's going to play or not this weekend. But I've said I didn't think Fluker was playing great this year before he got hurt. He took a bit of a step back. And Jones, he's only been in there for a game and a half to this point, but I'm curious how closely you've watched him and if you see a dramatic difference between the two, if you feel like Jones ultimately might be the better option at that spot.
Yeah, I think as Jones continues to play, if he continues to trend the way he's trending, that he ultimately is a better player. Fluger's a big dude. Obviously, he's gigantic. They said he's got a hamstring issue, and I go, that's the largest hamstring on the face of the planet. That thing is a ham cord or a ham rope, not a string. So he is the biggest man on the face of the planet. But I just don't think he moves exceptionally well. I think Jones has played better there. I'm with you on that, Dave. I think he's played better. And I think as he continues to develop, he's got really good hands. He strikes people really well. He gets on people and stops them before they're ready to make moves. So he has kind of got an aggressive pass set to him from, you know, the film that I've studied and watched. So I think he gives you an option. And I don't think they're in a hurry to play Fluker. Even though Fluker, I think, is healthy enough to play, I don't think they're in a real hurry to move him back in there. I think they're going to give Jones some opportunity to get some run and see how he continues to progress.
Hey, Mark, we appreciate you joining us. And I got to tell you, you did a good job playing yourself on Ballers. That's going to be a big stretch.
Oh, yeah. You were on Ballers?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're big time.
Yeah, I'm listen, I wasn't. I was actually playing me, which is really hard to do. You've got to be a really advanced actor to play yourself playing yourself. So, I mean, years and years of training to do that. So it's, I nailed it.
He had his. He developed his character. He had it nailed. It was good. Right. Hey, Mark.
Mark, we'll see you Sunday, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right, sounds good. We'll see you guys.
There you go. There's Mark Schlereth with us, and he'll be on the call this weekend. And yeah, he was on Ballers. Jay Glazer was on it, and yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. Did you watch that show?
I started watching the last season.
Okay.
Yeah, I've only been through the first couple. You know, I feel like all the players watch that show too, and that they think that that's reality.
Yeah,
that's how it happens. Yeah, some of the behavior that you see in the NFL.
Yeah,
I think they've been watching too many episodes of Ballers.
Well, the series was series finale. It's over. No more.
Yeah, I have them all taped though.
Okay,
but The Rock is fantastic.
He really is good. He really is good. He's a very likable guy. Yeah. All right, our thanks to Mark Schlereth for joining us on the program. Coming up, Joe Girardi, who's not managing at this current moment, got emotional about last night's game. We'll let you hear why when we sweep the dial next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
You were a great husband. You were a great father. You were probably the greatest teammate I've ever been around because of your ability to pull all 25 and sometimes all 50 people together in the clubhouse. And you were the guy that I always wanted on the mound when we needed a win. And it was a privilege for me to manage you for 9 years. I love you, man.
Wow, the voice of Joe Girardi talking about CC Sabathia, who had a less than stellar end to his career last night, dealing with an injury. And by the way, a little update for you: Yankees are up 4-1 on the Astros as Verlander gave up 2 home runs in the first inning.
Maybe they're inspired by CC Sabathia.
Yeah, but how about that?
Yeah, Joe Girardi is always, just based on his interviews, always struck me as a really good, upstanding, nice, you know, solid man.
Yeah.
And for him to get that, because I didn't know that much about CC Sabathia, you know, as far as off the field and everything. That's pretty cool. I mean, and for a guy like that to get emotional and break down says a lot about CC Sabathia.
Yeah, boy, a long career. I think he started in 2000 or 2001, and boy, what an emotional, pretty cool to see that, and the ovation that he got from Yankee fans coming off after getting hurt. And so, yeah, really nice to see Joe Girardi getting as emotional as he did.
You know what? I get picks every day on Lock It In on FS1. I'm going to give my new friend a chance here. Tell everyone your name.
Gunner.
Gunner, you're picking for both of us. Who's going to win tonight and why?
Broncos, because they have the best team.
Isn't he adorable? We're going Chiefs. 27-17. Oh, stop it.
The kid blew it. I love that. That's great. We're going Chiefs. Who is that? Cousin Sal?
Who is Cousin Sal?
I think we should know who Cousin Sal is.
I don't know who he is.
But Jim
Mora knows.
We don't.
Who's Cousin Sal?
He's on the Lock It In show on FS1, and he's a regular guest on the Bill Simmons podcast.
I'm not sure how we didn't know that. But, yeah, I do like that soundbite, though. The kid's screaming. He's excited. Broncos, they're the best. All right, kid, good job. We're going Chiefs.
Yeah, and Cousin Sal was right.
He was. I don't think it took a rocket scientist to make that pick, though, right? I mean, you weren't leaning toward the Broncos before the game, were you?
But we talked to the professor yesterday. Denver was only a 3-point underdog in that game, and so you thought, well, maybe Mahomes is really banged up, because I figured Kansas City would be favored by more than that, and then they end up winning 30-6, even when Matt Moore came in to replace Mahomes.
The Broncos have, I think you'd know this, Mara, the biggest like landmass of, as far as their area, it's probably the biggest in the NFL. As far as like all through the Midwest, like goes up into Montana.
Yeah.
Do you ever look at
people
those
people in Wyoming root for them?
Wyoming, yeah. And they're ardent fans. I've always said that they will turn on you.
Yeah.
Especially they haven't come from here, from Seattle. But you see Bronco fans everywhere. And when I went there in like the mid-90s, it was surprising how often you would roll into an opposing city and there'd be tons of orange jerseys. Whereas Seahawks, not so much back then.
By the way, people are telling us Cousin Sal is Jimmy Kimmel's cousin.
Oh, is that right? Is correct. Yeah.
He's also an Emmy-winning writer, says another texter. All right. Good for him. That was a funny bite.
It was Taco Tuesday. Me and my lady, we were at the crib eating some tacos. We had just made a little video, too. I was going to post it on my story, and then I feel like I was mid-bite. Dropped my taco, answered the phone, and it was up since then.
That's crazy. Well, are you like carne asada? You like carnitas, chicken?
I just like regular old tacos with some ground beef or ground turkey, a little lettuce, a little cheese, a little sour cream.
Thank you, Jalen Ramsey.
There's Jalen Ramsey in the midst of Taco Tuesday getting the news he had been traded.
That.
You like that he likes it?
Yeah, he's
traditional,
it's very
taco.
Basic, you know?
That's where
I just put, well, I do tomato paste, a little tomato sauce in the meat, you know, and spice it. But then just, you know, it's almost like it's a cheeseburger, basically.
Yeah.
With a taco shell and
hard, know, shell.
Regular. Yeah.
I like crunchy tacos. Everybody goes soft tacos these days.
Yeah, the crunchy ones are good. My mom and...
What about double-decker?
What's that?
It's the crunchy, and then you do beans in between and put a soft shell over it.
That's a Taco Bell creation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't done that. Fancy for me.
Yeah, I'm old school. I'm nuts and bolts like him. Just give me a basic taco, and I'll eat like 12 of them.
Our Wyman tacos used to be you take the corn tortillas and put them in like boiling grease. You ever have those?
No.
I know it's not good for you, but man, they taste good.
Those are the best.
Well, you take the hard shell and put it in burning oil?
No, not the hard shell. You just get regular tacos, you know, that are flimsy. And put them in hot oil.
The soft corn tortillas, that's what those are. Like once you fry them up, they become the hard shell.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a little bit of chewiness to it, you know, but still. Oh,
man, you're making me hungry. I love tacos.
I do too. I'm going to go home and make tacos tonight.
I like
Taco Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the follow-up question there, trying to get to the bottom of exactly how he likes his tacos. And it sounds like he's going to be playing for the Rams at Atlanta on Sunday.
That's the word. By the way, this happy hour is brought to you by Heritage Distillings BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. I got to read you this text, though, Dave.
Yeah, let's go.
This is from the 253. Hey, Dave, the lack of Spinal Tap knowledge last night was disturbing. I know what Paul is getting for Christmas.
Thank you, 253.
You were talking about that before the show.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe it because Paul said something about it went from 7 to 11. I'm like, oh, yours goes to 11? Why don't you just make 10 the loudest and, you know, not have 11? Why don't you just make 10 louder?
He's giving me a blank look.
I got nothing but blanks and crickets from everybody there. Brenna, I went to NASA, Michael Bumpus, no help whatsoever.
That hurts.
Bob, I really miss you. I'm like, where's Bob?
That hurts my heart. This is one of the more quotable movies in existence. And
this
just,
one goes to 11.
These go to 11.
Yeah.
That was his response to, why don't you just make 10 louder and have 10 be there?
Exactly. Thank you, 253.
These go to 11.
Yeah. And Paul was like, you know who produced that movie? I'm like, it's Meathead. Of course I know. From All in the Family.
Yeah, Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner.
All right. Coming up, we're going to sit down with Seahawks cornerback Nico Thorpe for our player spotlight. That's coming up with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.